Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now, it was initially scheduled as the second televised U.S. presidential debate. Instead, United States Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden and President Donald Trump spoke in simultaneous town halls broadcast on separate television networks. The debate had been cancelled following Mr. Trump's COVID-19 infection diagnosis. And on the back of that, the response to the COVID-19 pandemic was one of the hotly discussed issues at both of the forums that took place just last night in the United States. And to break down the key events from the town halls and what this means, we have with us on the line Curtis Chin. And Curtis is an associate fellow with the Milken Institute. He's joining us from Virginia. Curtis is also a former U.S. ambassador to the Asian Development Bank under both U.S. Presidents George W. Bush and Barack Obama. Curtis, thank you so much for joining us. It's bright and early where you are.
Yeah, good morning to you from here. Sun's not quite out yet, but what an evening it was with those dueling debates.
Definitely. And you know, Curtis, when we first started to arrange this interview, we were planning to discuss the second presidential debate, but how quickly things have been changing overnight the last few weeks. What were some of the key takeaways for you from the forums?
Well, first, let me note that given that they were at the same time, I caught the Trump one and then a half an hour of the Biden one. But what a contrast in both styles and substance. And I think when you talk about what was the difference, each of those forums, those town halls, really summed up, I felt, both candidates' approach. A more combative Donald Trump, somewhat, I would say, laid-back Joe Biden. But I think most importantly, listeners, viewers saw a deep contrast in how they approach really what is the issue of the day here in the United States, which is COVID-19 and the economic consequences of it.
And that said, Curtis, the economy has been hit hard by the COVID-19 pandemic. Labor Department figures showed that at least 25 million people remained on jobless benefits as of end of September. Let's talk about the key economic issues raised: jobs, taxes. These were both discussed during the forums, weren't they?
Absolutely. You know, on the economic front, I think both candidates tried to put forth that, yes, the U.S. is on its way back. Indeed, in this very same week, the International Monetary Fund released what it calls its World Economic Outlook, citing that even though we might think it's bad here in the United States and so many people are indeed suffering, the United States is doing best of all of the advanced, really major economies in the world. But that best is still a projected decline this year of some 4% in its GDP. So I think each candidate tried to look at these numbers and try and reassure America that things will get better. Donald Trump is saying, well, they'll get better because they're already getting better under him. Joe Biden was very clear that with some changes in policies, things would indeed get much better under the former vice president.
So what does this mean for international relations and specifically trade with Asia? You know, some have said that Bidenomics will be a net plus for Asia as U.S. economic policies will be less capricious, more predictable, more multilateral. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I think very clearly there will be a contrast in styles, for sure, if it is a President Biden versus the continuation of a President Trump. And that would include, under President Biden, probably a return more to what we call, you know, the traditions of diplomacy. But one thing also I think was very clear was that no matter who is president come next January 2020, the relationship between the United States and China will have changed. I think for better and also for worse, both candidates continue to call out China in sometimes, in some ways, very undiplomatic terms, actually on both sides. So as we look to the future, you know, part of what will happen is policy will be decided by personnel. And I think there's already jockeying in Washington as to who would join a Biden administration or who would be in the next Trump administration.
So let's talk about the current sentiment at the moment, Curtis, because this is an unprecedented presidential election taking place during a pandemic. Can you give us an idea of sentiment in the U.S. at the moment?
Yeah, indeed, an unprecedented time for a presidential election. I think the reality, though, is that each of us here in the United States, I'm here in Virginia right outside of Washington, D.C., lives in our own bubble. We see our country based on what we ourselves experience with regards to the economy and COVID-19. And so that's where I always want to look back at the data. I was really intrigued by just released Gallup poll data that asked Americans if they felt they were better off now than they were 4 years ago. And I think surprising for many, the poll said that actually the majority of Americans feel they are better off today than they were 4 years ago. That's generally good for an incumbent president. But the polls also show that people don't like Donald Trump's personality, where many people felt that perhaps the country overall was worse off right now, even though they themselves were better off right now. I think that's really the sign of a divided America. So when you ask about the state of the country, clearly there's a tremendous divide. That my hope is that whoever is president next year can bring this country together.
We're speaking with Curtis Chin, Associate Fellow at the Milken Institute. He's joining us on the line from Virginia. Now, Curtis, some 12 million ballots have been cast and over 1.6 million of them in Florida, according to the U.S. Elections Project at the University of Florida. What would a Biden win in Florida mean for Trump, and how are the polls heading at the moment?
You know, very clearly, I think when you look at the polls, President Trump is the underdog. But at sometimes people would note that, as he was 4 years ago, the underdog. You know, the path to a re-election victory for Donald Trump would be very difficult without winning Florida. And so when you look at how, you know, people put together a victory when they're running for president, people outside the U.S., and maybe even sometimes in the U.S., don't always understand that really, in a way, it's 50 different elections. And so Florida remains a critical key state for Donald Trump. And indeed, that's the state he now declares as his residency, as a citizen of the state of Florida, versus how we associate him for many years, which is as a citizen of New York.
So tell me, Curtis, what's next for the campaign trail, and what are you going to be looking out for?
Well, you know, what's next probably is going to be just like these last 2 weeks. It's going to be twists and turns and ups and downs and perhaps many surprises. I think there's probably just 17, 18 days till the election year. But also what we're seeing, as you noted, in Florida and elsewhere, already a lot of people are already voting. In Virginia, just the other day, I saw people lined up to cast their votes already. And so when we look at these next days, we're going to look at things like, are people voting that are more Republican or Democrat with regards to the key battleground states, states like a Florida, like a Michigan, like a Pennsylvania. We're going to look at where are these candidates going, which gives us some indication about the states that they want to lock in as victory. You know, in this unprecedented presidential year, I think we're going to see a time when, for Trump, if he's disciplined, he'll focus on the economy, where people give him great credit. For President or for Vice President Biden, he'll want to keep the attention on COVID-19, where, again, people there don't give the president much credit there for how we've gone so far, given the tremendous numbers here. Just this morning's headlines in the Washington Post I'm looking at, the big headline is that we see the biggest spike in virus cases across the United States since August. So it's that mix of the economy and COVID-19 will be the issues of the day these next 2 weeks. But we're also going to see things like a Supreme Court confirmation vote possibly soon in Washington. So big issues, big changes, and certainly big issues to pay attention to as the election day nears.
And we'll be watching it closely. Now, lastly, Curtis, before we let you go, speaking of big events, the Milken Institute 2020 Asia Summit is an event that many look forward to every year. Like many events, it's been put on pause due to the pandemic. Will it still be going ahead?
Well, absolutely. Thank you for asking. You know, earlier you said I was an associate fellow. My title is actually Asia Fellow, which reflects the Milken Institute's really increasing focus these last 6 or 7 years in Asia, and that includes hosting what we call the Asia Summit. Indeed, it's going to be reimagined, reinvented this year, held December 8th to 10th. In Singapore. For all your Singapore listeners out there, we look forward to you all being engaged. And indeed, what's going to be different is it'll probably be a hybrid event, a mix of virtual and in-person with leaders, you know, from business, government, tech, philanthropy, and more engaged. And what's cool this year, I think people will be participating also by hologram. So stay tuned and stay, you know, linked online or in person to what, again, should be a great event. That's the Milken Institute Asia Summit this year in Singapore.
Curtis,
again,
Thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insights. We look forward to having you back on the show.
Thank you much. Good day to you all.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Curtis Chin, Asia Fellow at the Milken Institute, here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.